In one of his last meetings with his followers, Jesus talked to them and he gave them a simple command. He said, you're supposed to love one another. In fact, he told them that when they love one another, that's how the world would know they were his followers, by their love for one another. So love one another. Simple, isn't it? Until it isn't. Until there are differences. It's easy to love one another when we agree on everything. The problem is, we don't agree on everything. My guess is, even as we were singing the children's song, and we were singing about Fords, there were some of you out there thinking, why in the world would you drive a Ford? Because I know some of you out there are Chevy fans. Sorry, it pains me to think, but some of you are Chevy fans. And some of us know what real trucks look like. Whoa. I know. Now, see the fight words that happen over just something simple like that. And all of a sudden Jesus says, you'll know them by your love, but you're going to get mad at me over what truck I like? It's easy to do when we get along, but what about loving across our differences? When I meet with couples and I talk about premarital counseling, we talk about conflict, we recognize conflict isn't simply when you're throwing dishes at each other and you're screaming at each other. Conflict is simply a difference of opinion. Conflicts happen all the time when we have a difference of opinion, a different way of looking at things, when we don't see eye to eye on something. It might be something that's done to you. It might be something you did. It might be on a political issue. It might be about worship styles. It might be about an ethical issue or a personal issue that doesn't fall under either. Something like the kind of trucks you drive, or it might be a slight about something someone said to you, and what happens then is a conflict happens. And so, how do we deal with these things? How do we love across those differences? How do we begin to love one another when we don't get along? How do we begin to love one another in the midst of these conflicts that happen? I struggle with this. It's hard to do. It's hard when you don't get along, when you don't see eye to eye with somebody on something. When something's happened and they've hurt you or you've hurt them and you're trying to figure these things out. And it's happened to me over the years, and I know I haven't always done it right. I haven't always done the right way. I haven't always handled it. But Jesus gives us a way to look at this and to do it here. We recognize that it's a hard thing. So we're in Matthew chapter 18. And so Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus has been teaching his followers, and he's been talking about this thing called the kingdom of God. This thing called the kingdom of God, and he's been talking about this kingdom of God is something where God reigns. The kingdom of God is a counterculture. It's a different way of doing things. It's a different way of living together, a different way of living and reflecting your life into one another. And Jesus is calling people and inviting them into this kingdom of God. And he's teaching them what this kingdom of God looks like. And at the start of chapter 18, he talks about who's great in the kingdom, and he talks about children being great in the kingdom. But then he talks about the fact that realizes that each participant, each member of the kingdom of God, as they enter in the kingdom, we've got this stuff inside of us. We call it sin. There's this stuff where we don't do what we're supposed to. And Jesus offers some radical solutions to that. He says, you've got to deal hard and strong with this stuff. He talks about, if you read the early chart, he says, you know, if you've got this stuff inside of you, and it's causing you to sin, it's better for you to cut your arm off or gouge out your eye than to sin or to cause someone else to fall into sin. He said this earlier in the Gospel of Matthew 2, back in chapters 5 and 6 and 7, where he's talking about this. He's saying, earlier there when he said, you know, if you're lusting after someone to gouge out your eye, if you're thinking about this thing to deal with it. And what he's talking about is this sin, this root problem that's deep inside of us. We have to be serious about it. We can't be cavalier or lighthearted about it, but that's how serious it is. Of course, Jesus doesn't mean to literally cut it off, but what he's talking about is how dangerous this is. To examine ourselves about the sin that's going on inside of us. And then he begins to address what happens when someone sins against us and how we deal with that. And then later, after the passage we read, he deals with the issue of forgiveness. And we're going to spend a whole 6 weeks starting in March on forgiveness. We're going to come back to that. But for right now, I want to deal with this issue of conflict and sin. And I want to broaden it out. Jesus is dealing here specifically with sin, but I think he can talk about it in more broad terms. It's the value of being direct. When we have one of these differences, when there's something that's going on between two people, that we deal with it directly. few years ago as a church, we created something we call a Covenant for Christian Community. You can see it out in the narthex on the wall there. There's several different posters with it. And one of the lines in it, it talks about what it looks like to live as a community of remarkable love. And it says we deal with conflicts in direct and loving ways, taking a helper if necessary. To deal with conflicts in direct and loving ways, taking a helper if necessary. So we resolve our differences. Why do we resolve different ways? Why not just let those differences be? Why? Because relationships matter. Because we're connected to one another, those relationships matter. And we do it also because that's the nature of God. That's the heart of God. That God was in the world reconciling himself. This is the nature of God, is to reconcile, to restore relationships. When Adam and Eve, when the first people sinned, there were all kinds of broken relationships. They broke relationship with God. They broke relationship with each other, with their creation, with their self. And God has been in the process of restoring and healing those relationships. And he invites us to be a part of that. And what he's saying is, we can't live that way. We can't live in conflict. One writer I read earlier this week, he said, it's seldom conflict that kills a church, but it's refusal to deal with conflicts that kill a church. I'm going to say that again. What he said was, it's seldom conflict that kills the church. It's often refusal to deal with the conflict that kills the church. And so what does Jesus say here? He talks about dealing with it and about going directly to someone, direct and loving ways. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about what direct doesn't look like. And we're going to talk about a term, and it's called triangulation. And so I've got some helpers here who are going to explain triangulation to me. Help you understand what triangulation is. So I'm going to invite my helpers on stage here. So these are two of my helpers. They're going to help us understand what this idea of triangulation looks like and what it looks like to do and handle things in direct and loving ways and what it doesn't look like. And so Murray Bowen, who's a psychologist, developed this term called triangulation. And so I want you to imagine that these two are married. And so we have Mr. Green and Orange's wife. And so they've got some things, and Orange is not happy with her husband. He's not been doing all the things that sometimes he gets home from work, and instead of taking care of some of the chores, he kicks back and he's watching TV. He's never happy with the food she makes. And there's those, I mean, is he sinning? No, not really. But is there conflict going on? Yeah, there is. What happens, though, is... Oh, I need one more helper. Hang on. We have Mr. White. And Mr. White is Orange's brother, so Green's brother-in-law. So what Orange does, instead of talking to her husband about it, what does she do? She goes here. And she starts talking to her brother-in-law. Says, oh, my husband, you won't believe him. He's hungry, come home and lazy. But the problem is, see, Green and White, they're buddies. I mean, they go golfing together. Sometimes they fish together. They hang out. And they like each other. But now what's happened is we've got what? A triangle going on. And part of what happens then is now Green says to White, hey, your sister, I don't know, something seems like it's going on between us here. And I'm not sure what's going on. Part of what's happening now is, if you're White, what happens? You feel you're stuck in the middle, right? And the other thing is, you feel forced to what? Yeah. Choose a side, right? Who am I going to be? Am I going to take my brother's side? Am I going to take my... And this is what we call triangulation. And so it begins to break down the relationship. It can happen with two friends. Imagine just Green and Orange are friends, and something happens that... It could be something simple. Green forgot to invite Orange to the birthday party. Oh my goodness. But it begins to break down. And so what happens? White gets invited in. And there's this triangulation that begins to go on. And the patterns break. Can happen in church and prayer groups. Yeah. You know, when you start to share a prayer request, this is how the church does it. We don't gossip, we share prayer requests. And when we share a prayer request, but it becomes gossip because you start praying, well, we really need to pray for Green because... And then what you're doing is you start to gather people to align with you. And that's called triangulation, and that's called gossip, and that's wrong. And so you begin in this process of doing that. Sometimes it's simply complaining. Sometimes it's asking the other person, and you're saying, Green goes to White and says, oh, I got this real problem with Orange. Could you go tell him about it? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way because, again, we're not following a process of doing it in a direct way. And so what happens in triangulation is people need to know, they deserve to know from the other person directly what's going on. They deserve to know what's happening. We already recognize that that third person, their relationship gets affected in the whole thing. When people don't go directly to one another, the relationship gets affected. They're forced to choose a side. The other thing is the real issue is avoided. The real issue is avoided because they're busy working this out in these ways. Both sides are talking to this other one. So if we go back to our original one, the Mrs. Orange, she goes to her brother and she feels like everything's okay now. She's had a chance to vent. She's had a chance to lay it all out and get her feelings out and say, oh, and she talks to her brother and says, oh, my brother, my husband's such a bum and he does this and that. And she gets done with the conversation. And sometimes she feels better about it then. But is the problem solved? The problem hasn't been solved, but she feels a little better about it. And so what happens? The conflict continues. It's not been resolved, and the conflict continues. It's a failure for people to own their own things, and communication fails. So if we imagine that situation where Green wants White to carry a message to Orange, and they come to them and they say, well, so I'll give you something that's commonly happened in my ministry is someone will come to me and they'll say, oh, we've got someone in the congregation. I don't want to say who, but they're not happy with the music you're choosing. And I say, well, could you tell me who it is? No, I can't tell you who it is. Could I talk to them? Because I can't understand. Well, no, they don't want to talk to you. But what's the problem is, if I can't talk to the person who has the issue, I can't hear what the real issue is. Because as soon as I tell one person and they tell somebody else, we've all played telephone, right? And we know how that breaks down. But the other is, we can't really hear. Because the first person, as soon as Green tells White something, White hears and processes that through. And then White tells Orange. And they process it through in a certain different way. And so the issue isn't always clearly communicated, as opposed to if you can get those two people in the same room and they can sit and they can have a conversation and they can ask questions and say, oh, could you tell me more about that? Could you help me understand a little better what's going on because I'm not really sure? So when Jesus gave this wisdom, he said, if you've got somebody with someone, go to them and talk to them. Why? Because this doesn't happen. This triangulation, these breakdowns in communication don't happen. Right now, does this mean that every single time this is the way it has to be, that you shouldn't involve a third person? No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying a third party should never be involved. Imagine there's a situation of abuse. And Orange has been abused by Green. Would I counsel and say, well, you need to go talk directly to that person and not involve everybody? No, not at all. Or if there's a situation where maybe Orange is intimidated by Green because of their position. You can imagine in a workplace, or maybe it's a boss, or maybe in school where it's the bully. And there's these things going on and you want to talk to somebody, but you're intimidated by that other person, maybe because of their education, maybe because of their position, maybe because of whatever it is about them. And so sometimes it's helpful to involve the other person, but it's involving the other person in the right way. Remember back when we talked about our Covenant for Christian Community, it says, resolving differences in direct and loving ways, bringing a helper if necessary. Because sometimes we need somebody to come along. Sometimes we need somebody to come along because our passions are so high about something. We're so set on this that it affects our ability to hear. Sometimes we need a helper to come along because we need help in figuring it out. And it might even be the case where Orange seeks out White just for some advice. And says, hey, I've got this thing going on and I need your wisdom on how to deal with this. And then they go talk to Green on their own. And so it's not a matter of triangulation is not saying, and I don't think Jesus is saying, that you never involve anybody else. The point is that eventually, the goal is, it's a face-to-face. The goal is a face-to-face reconciliation. But sometimes that requires a third party, or a fourth and a fifth party. somebody who's got some wisdom, some expertise, because some things are simple and they can be resolved. Some things are more complicated, and it might not be just one conversation. It might be two conversations. It might be 17 conversations. It might take a process of years to resolve some of those differences. And so sometimes you need someone to help you. You need someone to come along. And so that's where Jesus is dealing with this. He's saying, this is the nature of the kingdom of God. The nature of the kingdom of God is a desire for reconciliation. And that reconciliation is ultimately about a face-to-face communication. And it doesn't involve another person. It doesn't involve going around it. It doesn't involve this triangulation, but it involves direct and loving ways of communicating. So that's how it happens if we're in the communication. Now, what about if we're this person here? Because that happens sometimes too, doesn't it? Somebody comes to us and they start to share an issue. What you need to do at that point is evaluate your role. To say, what are you wanting me to do in this? Because I'm not going to get caught in the middle. Because what happens sometimes is it makes us feel good. The truth is, isn't it nice sometimes when somebody comes to you and says, hey, I could use your help. Your ego gets stroked a little bit, you feel a little bit better about it. Or there's always the chance that maybe you don't like orange very much either, and then somebody comes along and says, hey, you know that orange? They've really been bugging me. Oh, I know what you mean. And so when someone else comes to us, and this is part of our role, church, this is part of our role is to evaluate that and make sure these kinds of things don't happen. And that's part of what this Covenant for Christian Community is. It's saying, this is the way we're going to live together. And we live together this way because this shows what a remarkable love looks like. Because triangulation, that's what happens everywhere. You will notice this. Go pay attention in school. Pay attention in your workplace. In within your family, within other relationships. And you will see it happening all the time. Why? Because this is really, really, really hard. Whenever there's a pain, whenever there's a hurt in it, it is a hard thing to do, to sit down with the other person. It's hard when you have been wronged. Because what we learn from growing up in the society in which we live is when we get wronged, what do? We get back. It's the Liam Neeson, it's the Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's the whatever generation you come from. When you get hurt, what do? You get even, right? Mm. You go out and you take revenge, and that's so much the way of things that we learn. The other is when we're hurt, we don't want to give that up. Sometimes we want the other person to hurt the way we do. And then when we've hurt someone, sometimes what happens is we don't want to acknowledge it. Because acknowledging that we've hurt someone is to acknowledge that we've failed. To acknowledge that we've sinned. To acknowledge that we're less than. When I say something unkind and hurt my wife or my children or one of you, it's hard to say I'm sorry because I'm sorry means I did something wrong. And we have trouble admitting that we're wrong. It requires us to be uncomfortable. It requires humility. But Jesus invites us to it. And that's the thing about being a follower of Jesus is we have this extra help. And that's two things. One is we have each other. We have each other to encourage us, to build us up. We have each other where we can look and we can see models of one another. And we can look and we can say, this is what it looks like to be done. We heard that story in the book of Acts. But we can see it throughout the history of the church where people have come together and said, this is what true reconciliation looks like, where people can do it. So if you remember a few years ago when the young man sat in a Bible study down in Emmanuel Bible Church, or Emmanuel Baptist, and then at the end of the Bible study, shot 9 people. And then there was this reconciliation, this desire to meet face to face, and was it easy? And this forgiveness, and so what that looks like, and again, we're going to talk a whole lot about forgiveness because that's a whole nother level of challenges. But you come to this, we have Jesus. And so this is with Jesus' help we do this. With Jesus' help, we can be able to do this because God is the one who enables us to do this because we see the patterns in the way in which he loved us. And so God invites us and empowers us and enables us. And so it's asking God for help. When we have this difference between us, when we feel like life is like this, and we'll never see eye to eye, and we can invite God into the process. And that's, in some ways, to take a flip on it, the best kind of triangulation, is to invite God into that process to help us so that eventually we can move to this point where we're seeing eye to eye and face to face. And so when Jesus gives these words of wisdom here in the midst of saying, we're all messed up inside, we all have these deep problems with inside us and we need to deal seriously with it, just as seriously as we need to deal with the sin in our life, so serious that we need to be willing to chop our hands off if it's causing us to stumble or someone else to stumble. That's how serious this issue of broken relationships is. We need to deal with it seriously. We need to find ways to mend it in direct and loving ways. To renew those situations, because that's what Jesus calls us to do. And it's only with Jesus' help that we can do this. It's a struggle, it's hard. But as you go your way this week, I want you to reflect on what are those relationships, what are those conflicts that are going on, what are those time, places where you feel there's a brokenness, and then ask God to help you say, what's that next step I need to take? Because that's often the best way to think of it. Because sometimes if I'm here and the other person's way over there, sometimes what it is we're not going to get here face to face in one conversation. But God might say, here's one step I can take. Here's one move I can take to begin to draw us a little bit closer. And with God's help, that's something we all can do.